Our next public hearing is subdivision 2005-81 Bethany Ridge LLC.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, dividing 104.32 acres into 227 lots within the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone, located north of Road 349, 1,600 feet east of Road 348. Earlier, the commission received a copy of a large booklet entitled Bethany Ridge. It has a project overview, information on the application, information on the development report, the land use, surrounding zoning, and site locations, majority of which are multiple maps, a stormwater conceptual plan and approach, traffic and site circulation report, a reference to amenities, utility providers, and covenants and conditions. It is a part of the record, and I would ask Mr. Abbott if he's received any additional comments.
Mr. Wheatley, we've not received any additional comments. However, the TAC report of June 21st of this year will be made a part of the record.
All right, sir. Thank you. Anything else, Mr. Lang?
That's all.
All right, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone here representing this application?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown, and I represent the applicant Bethany Ridge LLC. With me tonight is Richard Boyle. Richard's with the applicant. He's also a vice president with Natelli Communities, which is kind of the parent company of Bethany Ridge LLC. Also with me is Tom Ford of Land Design, who did the site planning. As Mr. Lank stated, there was an exhibit booklet that was submitted. It summarizes the application. It contains a number of exhibits that we'll be referring to in our presentation. I assume you gentlemen each have a copy of that. This is an application for a 227 single-family lot residential subdivision to be known as Bethany Ridge. The application is pretty straightforward. I'll be addressing some general information about the application and its compliance with the applicable land use regulations. Tom Ford will be presenting the details of the actual Bethany Ridge site plan and the information that went into the development of that design. Before I address the straightforward part of my application, I do need to take a moment to mention some background information that I think is important. First of all, my client basically was assigned a contract to buy this parcel of land. The seller and then owner of the parcel was Mr. Raymond Banks. Since that contract was originally signed, Mr. Banks has passed away, and some of the family members basically did not want Mr. Banks to sell the property and subsequently filed a lawsuit challenging the contract on a number of different grounds. That matter, I believe, is in the Court of Chancery. I'm not involved in that matter. I know several members of the Banks family. I have no comment about the lawsuit other than to say that my client denies the allegations and is actively defending the lawsuit. And I would just state again that that dispute is a matter for the Court of Chancery to decide. There is a letter in the file from your attorney, Mr. Robertson, to that effect, and I think that probably would also be your position, that your responsibility is to review this matter under applicable land use regulations, and the court will decide the court issues. So I just needed to mention that because it does exist. And hopefully, it's certainly my anticipation that our presentation will show that the Bethany Ridge application is appropriate, that it's in compliance with all subdivision regulations, and that to the extent that there is opposition, it's not really opposition to our proposed land use, but rather opposition to any use of this particular piece of land. The second background item I need to mention to you is that back in 2003, I represented a client who actually was the original contract purchaser with the contract from Mr. Banks. There were two separate applications involved. One was called Bay Forest Club, and that was an application for approximately 800 residential units. It was a mixed development of multifamily and single family. And a second application was for Bay Forest West, and that was a 227 single family lot development. The Bay Forest West application back in 2003 is this same piece of land. Now called Bethany Ridge. Both of those applications back in 2003 were MRRPC change of zone applications. They were filed as separate applications because they were not adjacent. They did not connect. They were two separate parcels of land, so they were filed as two separate applications. Mr. Wheatley and Mr. Gordy were on the Planning Commission at that time. They may remember this. Mr. Smith and Mr. Johnson, Mr. Burton, you were civilians at that time. We're not here, so I don't expect you to remember this. Both those applications, of course, eventually had to go to County Council, and Bay Forest Club, which was the larger one, was approved by County Council. That was purchased by my client and is currently under development. The second application, the Bay Forest West, was not approved by County Council as an MRRPC. Although the Planning and Zoning Commission did recommend approval of that proposed MRRPC. And I will tell you, that proposed MRRPC is very, very similar to what's being presented to you tonight. I'm going to hand out, when I'm finished, copies of the Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendation of approval on that original application, just for your review so you're familiar with that. And I, again, would ask you to pardon me if I'm repeating something that I know you already know, but I do need to do this for the record. Why was this an MRRPC? Back in 2003, there was no AR or environmentally sensitive clustering provisions in our zoning ordinance. And what developed was a process that it was a creative process, and I mentioned before it was also a little convoluted. But what we were doing then was we were taking AR land, we were seeking an MR rezoning in order to be able to reduce the lot size to 10,000 square feet. We were also seeking an RPC overlay approval in order to reduce the 10,000 square foot lot size down to 7,500 square feet, which was permitted in an MRRPC. And then we were basically requesting a condition on that approval that we would not exceed the AR density. Now, in effect, what we were doing is we were creating an AR subdivision with a smaller lot size, 7,500 square feet. And it certainly was somewhat of a burdensome procedure requiring it to come to the Planning Commission as well as the County Council, but that concept was the basis of where the whole clustering concept came from. And it was recognized that there was benefit in clustering and that it shouldn't be something that was difficult to obtain. In fact, it should be something that was preferred. Going back to that particular application, for whatever reason, County Council did not deem MRRPC rezoning of this piece appropriate back in 2004. However, since this time, and what gives us the ability to come here tonight on this subdivision application was the changes to our zoning ordinance. The regulations, as you know, no longer require us to seek a change of zone or an RPC, since the ordinance now allows a subdivision in the environmentally sensitive development area, which is where this land is, to have a minimum lot size of 7,500 square feet as a matter of right. That's provided in the environmentally sensitive overlay ordinance. As I said, I'll give out the recommendation that the commission made then because I think it's equally supportive of the application we're presenting to you tonight. Now, getting back to the straightforward part. The site, site plan of Bethany Ridge. The site contains 104 acres of land. It's currently zoned AR1 agricultural residential. It's proposed to contain 227 single family lots, and that is a density of 2.17 lots per acre, which is the density permitted on AR land in the environmentally sensitive development area. As I stated, the property is in the environmentally sensitive development area. That area is considered to be a growth area under the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. The property is located on the north side of Old Mill Road, which is County Road 349, and that's the road to the bottom of the site plan that's on the board. It's located approximately halfway between Irons Lane and White's Neck Road. The parcel currently is approximately 75% cleared pasture and about 25% wooded. Under the proposed subdivision, approximately 70% of the wooded area will be preserved.
Excuse me, Mr. Fuquay. Sir, would you take your index finger and trace the property line for me, please? Because there's considerable green space surrounding your property that is not the subject of this application that make that a little bit difficult to see. And I just want to make sure the commission understood that the outline of the green is not the property line. Okay, there's what the property looks like, and in this, and that's a rendering, and that's a common technique. I'm not criticizing anyone. I'm just want to make sure you understand that that's what you're looking at. That some of that green space is not the subject of this application.
This is currently cleared.
Right. Okay.
This area is currently forested.
It's a U-tall shaped parcel.
Exactly.
It looked more like Idaho myself.
Idaho. Mr. Yeah. Lank thinks it looks like Idaho, Mr. Fuquay.
That doesn't surprise me.
I suggest the two of you meet tomorrow and try to hash that out, okay?
As I was saying, the development will maintain approximately 70% of the wooded area of the site. The development will also maintain approximately 34 acres of open space, which is approximately 32% of the acreage. There are no state or federal regulated wetlands located on the site. A wetland delineation was done by Geotechnology Associates. That was verified by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. There is a letter in the exhibit book in tab 4. There is a wet area on the site. It is not a regulated wetland under state or federal wetlands, and that area is not being developed. It'll be incorporated into the stormwater management system. A review of the database of the Delaware Division of Fish and Wildlife and the U.S. Department of the Interior indicated that there are no records of state or federal endangered, threatened, or rare plants or animals located on the site. Other studies done in preparation of this application included a subsurface soil report that was done by Geotechnology. There was a stormwater soil study, which was done by LandTech, and there was a phase one environmental study, which was also done by Geotechnology. The development will be served by central water for domestic use and fire protection that will be supplied by Tidewater Utilities, which is a public regulated water company. There is an ability to serve letter in tab 8 of the exhibit book. The site will also have wastewater treatment provided as part of the Sussex County sewer system. The site is located in the North Millville expansion area of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. The developer, of course, is responsible for the system and connection design and construction that has to be done in accordance with Sussex County Ordinance 38 and with DENREC regulations. The review comments that are in the record from the Sussex County Engineering Office indicates that wastewater capacity is available for this development. And in fact, I know you gentlemen are familiar that the County Engineering Office uses a system design assumption of 4 EDUs per acre for developments that are located in sewer districts. And Bethany Ridge, as I mentioned, has a requested density of 2.17 lots per acre or EDUs, and that's about half the density that the County Engineering Office planned to be used on this parcel. As far as traffic impact, the Delaware Department of Transportation did not require a new traffic impact study for this application, and that was because a traffic impact study had been done back in 2003 and 2004 for the two applications that I mentioned earlier, the Bethany, or the Bay Forest West and the Bay Forest Club applications. As I mentioned to you, one was originally for TIS purposes was a 244 single family lot application. The other one was an 800 plus mixed residential development. That TIS was done by Orth Rogers, who have appeared before you before, traffic engineers. This development, as well as the Bay Forest Club development, will be required to contribute to road improvements as required by DLDOT based on that Orth Rogers traffic impact study. And again, in the exhibit book that was submitted, there is a letter from DLDOT in tab 6, basically stating what I just said, that the TIS was acceptable back then and that the improvements required would still be required by this applicant. And also for further detail, the plus letter and the developer's response to the plus letter, particularly pages 4 through 7, which are in tab 2B of the exhibit book, details what road improvements DLDOT was requiring in connection with this application, as well as the Bay Forest Club application. Other utilities providing services for the site, Delaware Electric Co-op will be providing electricity, Mediacom will be providing cable television and telephone by Verizon. It's also anticipated to have propane on the site. It's to be determined who will be the provider of that utility. For the record, the site is in the jurisdiction area of the Delaware State Police. It's in close proximity to the town of Ocean View, who would be available for assistance if necessary. Fire protection would be provided by the Millville Volunteer Fire Company. The representation was made back with the original applications, which will continue to be honored by the applicant. The contributions will be made to the fire company upon the sale of each lot. The property is in the Indian River School District. The developer's representatives met with the school district representatives to advise them as to this application. And in tab 4C of the exhibit book, there is a letter from Lois Hobbs, who is the district superintendent, basically stating that the school district understands the development and that the future decisions would be made as to what schools would actually be used to serve this development. I know you gentlemen are all familiar with the area. There is shopping and services available nearby on Route 26 in Millville and Ocean View. From this site, it's easy access to the Food Line Shopping Center, and you're probably familiar with the new development, which I believe is called the Millville Town Center, which is also in that area. All lot owners in Bethany Ridge will be members of the Bethany Ridge Homeowners Association. That organization will enforce the restrictions, will collect dues and assessments, will maintain the common areas and the community facilities, including the application of an open space management plan. And there is information about the restrictions and the management plan, which are in tabs 9A and 9B of the exhibit book. As far as the applicable land use regulations, Bethany Ridge is zoned AR1. One of the stated purposes of the AR1 zoning district is single-family residential dwellings, and single-family residential lots are permitted use in the AR district. Bethany Ridge is in the Level 3 area under the state strategies map and is located in the environmentally sensitive development area as shown on the comp plan, which, as I already stated, is a growth area under the comp plan. It's an area where growth is anticipated and actually planned for by the county. As recommended by the comp plan and as enacted by the county in the form of the environmentally sensitive district overlay zone, lot sizes in the environmentally sensitive zone can be clustered or reduced to a minimum size of 7,500 square feet. The density, of course, if you have central water and sewer, is the density allowed by the underlying zoning district, in this case AR1 being 2.17. The overlay ordinance also requires an environmental assessment and public facilities report be submitted. That was prepared by Land Tech, by Tom Ford, and it is in the exhibit book in tab number 3A. The fact that Bethany Ridge is in a planned growth area is really apparent from the nature of the area. First and foremost, The site is in a Sussex County operated sewer district, which obviously is an area where development is planned, is currently occurring, and exactly where the county expects growth to go, namely in its sewer districts. It's also apparent that this is a growth area from the nature of the area, and I'll refer to the first three maps that are under tab 4 of the exhibit book. The first map just shows the location of the site in terms of the entire county, and then the second and third maps under tab 4 basically show an index map and an aerial map showing residential developments that already exist or are approved in the immediate area. And again, you can just refer to that. The aerial is probably the more informative one, but there's a number of developments in this growth area, including White's Creek Manor, Bethany Bay, Bethany Forest, Bay Forest Club, Bay Colony, Seagrass, Blackwater Village, and many others. In addition, directly across Old Mill Road from the site and lining up with this entrance is a pending subdivision application for a proposed subdivision to be named Harlton, and that'll be coming before you sometime next year. Now, as to the actual site plan for Bethany Ridge, I'll turn the presentation over to Tom Ford to review that with you.
Good evening. Tom Ford, Land Design.
Mr. Ford, it's been a while since you've been with us, and while you are well-known to everyone here, for purposes of the record, if you will be testifying as an expert, which I assume you're going to, we need you to get your credentials on the record, please.
I have a license to practice landscape architecture in the state of Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia.
All right, sir.
Land Design has been in operation for 25 years.
Very good. Thanks. That's all we need.
I'd like to refer you to, since I'm going to be talking about some site-specific things, a look at where the site is located, Route 26. This is the Collins Creek that runs up to the Indian River Bay, and this is the Blackwater Creek. The reason I point out the two creeks is they basically handle water in the watersheds of this area, this particular site being at the high point. There's just a small little, I'd say only about 4% of the site that actually drains off toward the Collins. Predominantly, it's draining off toward the Black Creek. Thus, when we get to stormwater and other issues along that line, our outfall and water direction will be going toward that Black Water Creek. I'd like to just, so for the purposes of those who haven't had a chance to look at the site, in tab 1A, which is about four pages beyond tab 1, there's a site map that depicts pictures of the site. And in photo number 1, we're looking at the field right from this general vicinity. It was taken over in this corner, and it's looking at this vicinity right in here. You see the edge of this low depression in this wooded area, as well as the field and some horses out grazing. In photo number 2, we're down the road of Old Mill, and you are looking at approximately where the entry area is going to occur on the site plan. In photo number 3, if I have my memory serves me correctly, presently there's a farm road that runs right through the site and on off the site and connects to Route 347 or White's Neck Lane. That farm road splits through the site where the old farmhouse is, as well as an adjacent, another abandoned farmhouse over in this area. The photo, I'm going to have to refer myself to the photos at this point. Photo number 5 is taken along this particular area or somewhere right in here. I want to, because the plan doesn't really reflect the tree line for the paddocks that are out there serving for the pastures, for the horses that are there, I wanted the picture just to depict the strength of that, and that we are looking to preserve that in the design by putting them along rear property lines, and we're trying to maintain some of the character that's existing out there. Photo number 6 is taken in the north area of the property. It's in the wooded area here. The older maps show that there were some roads that actually snaked through that area. There was a fairly large intersection for a rural grouping of lanes and things that came at that point. It does show that it was under agriculture at one point, because there are some swales and other things that run through it. But it's grown up. It's a nice set of woods, and it is part of our plan. That gives you a general photo essay of the site. The site plan reflects conservation design principles. The plan, we believe, is environmentally superior to a 20,000 square foot lot with community septic. And the clustering concept allows for smaller lots, yet more importantly allows the designer some discretion in responding to site features, both natural and man-made. It'll leave open space. It allows us to protect some natural areas. It does allow us to give on-site recreation, and it ultimately adds value and quality of life to the potential residents. The open space on the project we have about 33 acres of open space on this site. We're retaining all the wooded areas along this road. We've left a fairly good buffering along the road, even for the backs of those lots. It's a minimum of 50 foot. In some areas, we have over 220 feet from the road. We generally, though, average about a 100-foot buffer along that road, which will help preserve that rural character. It also allows us to meander a multi-use path through the site, which is required by DLDOT. And into the core area here, we have a good amount of open space that most lots, so that whole area is all open space. Most lots, even in here, will be a budding open space, as well as the lots here, as well as lots that are all in this area. We took some lots out of the wooded area, which was a recommendation by PLUS. This would maintain itself as contiguous. We also adjusted some paths that went through this depression area, this wooded depression area, by moving the path off to the side at a recommendation of just maintaining those woods in their natural state as they are. The site calls for, like as I said, about 33 acres of open space. We will have to file a nutrient management plan for any open space that exceeds 10 acres. The site would have to have that. The plan was based on obviously a lot of base data, a property line survey, topo, delineation of wetlands. We do have a JD on the site. And I won't repeat what Jim put into the record about endangered species, Indian River, and so forth. In the PLUS process, Connie Holland's letter, which is in tab 2A, does make mention that the state does support development that's sensitive to natural environments, but noted specific comments from DNREC and Department of Agriculture. It's a little dismaying when you go to PLUS and DNREC, even though we have a JD, puts 4 pages in your PLUS comments about how we should be respecting wetlands and so forth. I need to emphasize that there are no regulated wetlands on the site. One of their concerns was in one of your maps, there's a quad map put out by the U.S. Geological Survey that shows a blue line stream. So we did hire Ed Lene of Environmental Resource to walk the site to assure us that the initial JD wasn't done in error, that there wasn't any other items to it, which his letter accompanies at the end of the PLUS response. Ed Lene's letter is there. It is the determined by Ed that it's not state regulated or core regulated. So in a sense, we could actually either fill this portion of the site or deal with it, but we have chosen to retain it for its value. In addition to that, we are looking at that potential for outfall, which I was mentioning about the Blackwater Creek, is stormwater will be collected between certain improvements. Three of those improvements, 1, 2, and 3, will be wet ponds. These show as wet ponds, but they'll be dry retention basins, which means they will be wet for a minimum of 24 hours after a storm, but will then dry out. It gives us an opportunity to naturalize them. It'll be part of the open space. We will plant them in native species plants, but we are looking at 3 stormwater ponds preliminarily to capture the volume of what we anticipate engineering-wise. The stormwater plan itself is simply illustrated on tab 5. And if you'll turn to tab 5 and turn 2 pages into it, we are showing those retention basins. The deep blue areas on there are the retention basins that will dry out, but also will be wet after a storm event. The other 3 basins are your wet ponds. We will be connecting those together. There will be some bioswales as well as a conduit through the adjacent property owner's land, which the following page actually has an agreement. On page 5A, after the leaflet 5A, there was an agreement with the property owner to utilize a portion of what's existing there is a conduit to the Blackwater Creek. It's going to have to be extended, cleaned out, so it can pick up our stormwater in this particular area. In reference, again, back to PLUS, Connie mentions Department of Agriculture, but in reality, the Department of Agriculture does support this project. They do express that they, during a landscape plan for the project, they want the right tree in the right location, which are principles that we would follow. One of the bigger concerns was the forest stand. They would like all lots to be out of the forest stand. I need to point out that there's about 25 acres in forest on this parcel. We're looking at removing about 30% of that, and we're also looking at then revegetating. We think that's a mild impact to the forest stand that's existing there, and we did move some of the lots out of that treat area in response to PLUS. As for DLDOT, issues that weren't addressed, is DLDOT in their letter did want connectivity to each of the properties to our east and west. We are providing that conduit to the north-south. Being that each of these lots are on corner lots, we saw no need to make that connection at that point. The developer felt that we were just inviting liability that we couldn't control, and thus so we opted not to provide that connectivity. In response to our development report or the environmental assessment as required by the ESDD overlay zone, The one issue that we haven't discussed is the amenities. They are on tab 7 of the booklet. We do have an array of passive and active amenities. We are including a bus shelter, a gazebo. There will be the water feature in woodlands, jogging, and walking paths. As in reference to that, if you'll turn back one page, go back from page tab 7, one page, there's a pedestrian circulation map that shows the extent that would be this drawing right here, which is the last page of tab 6, just prior to tab 7. That would show the extent of the sidewalks. We're looking at sidewalks on both sides of the road. There's 24,000 linear feet plus of sidewalks on this project. They exceed the 4-foot minimum. There's a 5-foot sidewalk, which is more appropriate for shoulder-to-shoulder walking without getting on the grasses. We are also including 2,200 linear feet of 8-foot wide pathway through the common open space areas, and then there's 2,100 linear feet of a 10-foot wide multi-use path. If you'll bear with me, that drum sounds like my heartbeat. On tab 7, there is a list of the amenities. On the following page is a graphic. We're looking at a community clubhouse or gathering area. That would be enhanced with a nice garden feature. There'll be a sports court that could be used for multi-use activities. We are looking at a kiddie lot for with age-appropriate apparatuses there for under 10 years old. Next to the tot lot is a bus shelter, as well as to the right of the sports court, there is a gazebo with a walking path and so forth. So we believe we're creating opportunities for socialization and enjoyment in just staying on the property and enjoying the grounds. I think with that, I'd take any questions.
All right, thank you, Mr. Fuquay.
Yeah, Tom, just one other thing, just for the record, what's the minimum lot size and the average lot size?
Okay, the minimum lot size is 7,500. This particular development, this is more like the traditional Sussex County lots of late 70s, early 80s, because the average lot size is somewhere around 10,300 square feet.
So the smallest of 75, average is a little bit over 10.
The average across the 227, we have an average lot size of 10,300 or so square feet.
All right, thank you. Gentlemen, in conclusion, I do want to submit for your consideration. I had mentioned the Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendation on the original application for Bay Forest West, which I'll give to Mr. Lank and ask that he hand that down to you. Again, I just say this for you, I think it's some good background. There were some conditions in here that tied this into the other project, which of course is no longer relevant because this is a standalone development at this point in time. Also, I have some proposed conditions that I would ask Mr. Lank to hand down to you and propose findings.
Thanks, sir.
Exhibit book that we submitted, there is a summary of how we address the Section 99.9C subdivision considerations. That is in tab 3 of the exhibit book, and again, for purposes of time, I won't repeat that. It's in writing in our exhibits. Bethany Ridge, we believe, clearly is an appropriate use of property that's in compliance with the applicable county regulations. We have low AR density, but it's in a growth area. We have central water. We have Sussex County sewer. It's a well-planned development. It's a well-designed development. Over 30% of the site will remain open space. There's plenty of on-site areas for recreation and socializing. Over 70% of the wooded areas will remain wooded. The site has easy access to shopping and beach areas, and the development is similar or superior to numerous other developments in the area. As you know, it's always difficult to anticipate anticipation, and the way these hearings work, we don't have an opportunity to address comments that the opponents may raise. So I just merely want to state and ask you to consider that as to any anticipated opposition, is the opposition based on this plan, and is it based on this plan's compliance with the county land use laws, or is it something related to another matter? And that, of course, will be an issue for you to determine. Obviously, your responsibility is to ultimately determine if this application is in compliance with the Sussex County land use regulations and law. We believe overwhelmingly that it does, and it's in the appropriate place for this type of development. And that will conclude our presentation. We will try to answer any questions you have. And I will say that it's certainly challenging to present a zoning application, as I'm sure it is to listen to one when there's a parade going on. It
does have a way of creating a little bit of internal stress. All right,
I thought they brought the bands in to provide support music for their presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Fuquay. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you. Mr. Smith, I believe this is in your vast territory, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I think Mr. Fuquay and Mr. Ford have answered most of my questions. I just wanted to go over some of their responses just to double-check what I've written down. You indicated that of the on-site wooded areas, you anticipate approximately 70% of those would remain intact.
Correct.
And approximately 33 acres of the site is dedicated towards open space.
Correct.
Would you be kind enough to tell me, give me an idea of how much of the acreage of the open space is clustered in that area to the north of lots 120 and 212, in the where you've got the clubhouse and garden area? Of the 33 acres.
Of this right here?
Yes. What, since I don't have a scale, what would that
it's
be?
It's approximately 2 acres.
Pardon?
2 acres.
That would be about 2 acres.
Yes.
Or, okay. So then the other 31, I'm going to guess it's going to be scattered throughout the site in lesser increments.
The larger portion is up the side, up here, down here, as well as here. There's a 30-foot, which hardly shows on the site plan, but there is a 30-foot setback of rear lot lines along the entire perimeter of the property, as well as that 100-foot average along the roadway.
You will provide a stub street to the north, but you're reluctant for the reasons you stated liability to do so to
the
east.
No, there is access to that continued rural road that's there. People can use that and access that. There will not be an improved street along that. Unless, of course, in the future it was deemed necessary for the development of the lands in the back.
I believe you stated for reasons of liability you didn't feel that you wanted to provide the substreets that asked for by PLUS to the east and west. Was that what I heard you say?
That was part of it, yes.
You've got a few proposed, maybe as perhaps three bus stops throughout the community. Are you planning on doing some type of shuttle to shopping in the beach?
No, it's school bus.
That would be school buses?
Yes. Not precluding a shuttle, but we're not planning on that.
Am I correct that a school bus will not enter into a development?
It depends on the size of the development. I think there's a certain amount it won't go if it's less than a certain distance.
And I'm not sure that doesn't vary from district to district. I'm not sure.
It requires a central space near the road entrance.
And the road entrance, you have complied with a request by the state office, and you've realigned your entrance to be opposite the
there's a proposal that's coming in front of the commission in another month or so, and so these line each other up on the road just to create that alignment of intersection.
And you are giving the state historic preservation office an opportunity to check out the town, the farmhomes before they would be raised, if
yes.
Do we have restrictive covenants?
I don't recall on this one. I think we do. That's, I don't know if Mr. Fuqua submitted a summary on this.
It's a summary.
Yeah, we do have the standard summary.
So you have the...
There's just a short summary on tab 9,
right.
But I believe I submitted a letter that I normally submit
and
complying with the county requirements.
Right. It's in my files, and it's the general summary that includes the agricultural use notice, the streets, stormwater management, erosion sedimentation control, that type of thing.
Would the applicant be willing to put a hunting notice on nearby lands in there?
Sure.
That's all I have for now, Chairman.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Gordy?
All my questions have been answered.
Mr. Johnson?
Could you explain to me the difference in the liability between that rural road you're talking about to the north and the east-west connector roads that DLDOT's made reference to? I'm puzzled by why there would be a difference in liability issues.
There are individual lots here that would otherwise be landlocked.
Right now.
Yes, state your name, please, for the record.
I'm sorry. My name is Richard Boyle. I'm Vice President of Nutella Communities, the owner of the developing entity. There are several lots here owned by the Volkman family. They are subdivided parcels, and they would not otherwise have access to a public road. So there's an access easement.
So that's part of a current and existing access easement.
And cut them off from the public road.
Okay. And what are your liability issues that you're referencing on east-west connectivity?
Just in general, we're building private streets in here. They're not DLDOT roads. They're private streets maintained at the expense of the homeowners of Bethany Ridge. So to provide access to other parcels which otherwise have access to a major thoroughfare would place liability and financial burden on the homeowners here.
And are you aware that the commission in the past, dealing with the connectivity or so-called stub streets, have in fact required that they be part of the layout?
Mr. Johnson, we are in this particular instance. However, we'd like the commission to take into consideration that this is an entire parcel onto its own. This is an entire parcel onto its own. Each of those parcels have ample road front opportunity. The only reason that if this were developed for somebody to want to cut through the property it's been deemed a liability to the property to share that when they have such ample access on both sides of the road.
Okay. Mr. Johnson, I would just add, and not to get into the philosophical policy argument about the interconnection, but in a private development, particularly where there's private streets, to create the interconnectivity that in the future at some time could create a traffic pattern totally different than what's anticipated, you know, does create a liability issue, and it does create maybe a property rights issue that I didn't buy a lot in a private development to become a public way. And I understand the thought process behind why, but I'm not sure if it can work where they're not state streets or public streets. But again,
like you said, the way you prefaced it, there was some philosophical debate about those issues.
The one thing I need to add to that, because it is a legal question that can become a problem later on, and the commission needs to be aware of it, is without question, whether it's this project, and probably shouldn't use this one, there's always going to be one subdivision that's burdened more than the other in that situation. And probably Mr. Fuqua has been involved in it, and I know that I have, representing homeowners associations, where the one that's burdened by the next-door neighbor ends up being the one that has to do all the infrastructure repairs later on down the road. And it costs a lot of money to a homeowner association. And unfortunately, I've been involved in situations where it ends up in litigation, where you're trying to prove that somebody else's cars are causing your damage. And it's just a situation that you need to be cognizant of when thinking about interconnectivity, because it can come back to cause problems in the future.
Part of our philosophical debate.
Exactly.
Back to changing the subject then to your school stops, bus stops. Are those areas that you've discussed with the school transportation coordinator, or are they just proposed?
They will be further discussed with them. They'll be given options and where they want them to be.
They normally don't provide for bus shelters or stops in the center of a project. They normally ask them to be at the entrance. They typically don't go in private streets in some school districts because of some liability problems also in that issue.
That's why I was curious, Mr. Lang. Thank you. And I just have a question concerning your, I guess, Mr. Ford, it was your response to Plus. You made reference to the SHPO must complete the work in a timely manner so as not to slow down your progress. What's a timely manner?
I think if we were moved along, I'd have to leave that to my client's discretion on that, but I would assume that they'd have ample time to schedule and review the buildings, being several months if.
Yeah, I mean, our firm has a lot of experience dealing with state historic preservation organizations, and, you know, typically if you give them 2 or 3 months notice, they figure out a way to do their documents.
To do that, okay. I was just curious what that definition of timely manner was. I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Sure, thank you.
Mr. Burton.
All my questions have been answered.
All right, sir. Mr. Lang.
All my questions have been answered.
Mr. Counts.
I don't have any questions, but I do want to offer the other side of the public road debate in the sense that there is a burden on the public roads by not allowing interconnectivity. That has to be, the solution has to be borne by the public.
Part of the ongoing debate.
Philosophical debate.
Philosophical debate.
Mr. Chairman, I do have one more question. I'm sorry, I forgot my long list of questions there.
Okay.
And looking at your open space and the amount of open space, does that include the wet and dry ponds or?
It does.
It does not?
It does.
It does?
It does.
Okay, so on the, don't recall the percentage, but it, thank you.
Okay. The open space is about 34%, I believe. 34 acres, I'm sorry.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Mr. Robertson?
No questions.
All right, sir. Well, gentlemen, we thank you. If you would take a seat nearby.
Thank you.
We'll see if anyone has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-81, Bethany Ridge, LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2005-81? Yes, sir, way in the back.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for your time and consideration. I own the farm to the west side of this.
That's right, sir. I need your name, please.
Raymond Banks. I'm the one that's still here. Father passed away. I inherited the farm on the west side of this proposed development. Mm-hmm. He said the runoff will be going to Blackwater Creek. That goes across to me, and that's a big concern. The next concern is I plan to farm this property. And as the gentleman said before, from, what was it, Milton area, you know the odors of a farm and such. And the third thing is I plan to run a little produce. I don't need extra pickers. Mm. And that's one of my biggest concerns is if I put in sweet corn, fruit, what have you, what's to keep people from picking my product? Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, sir. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Speaking just before me was Raymond Banks, one of the brothers. I represent David Banks and Russell Banks, who own adjoining properties and also have initiated litigation regarding the right and ownership of this property and the right to sell the property when it was purportedly sold.
And your name is?
Rachel Mursky with the firm of Monzog & Monaco.
Are you an attorney?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and your bar number is?
Fortunately, I remember it. It's 2049.
I am take you at your word, ma'am, but our attorney is very skeptical. And he requires me to ask that question of every new face that we see.
It's an ongoing tradition before planning and zoning. I feel that you're being singled out. So.
Oh, you're definitely not being singled out. In fact, we required Mr. Fuqua to file a copy of his bar card.
Okay. Well, they're all published in the courthouse right around the way.
I understand.
On those little plaques.
I do want to remind you that the litigation that you're involved in is not the subject of this public hearing, and it does not have a bearing on the decision that this commission makes. We are making strictly a land use decision. So if you're, if this is all about the lawsuit, I really don't want to hear it.
There are three issues, one of which maybe relates specifically to the land use, but the two issues we need to place on the record are, one, we believe, and we've asserted and filed in litigation, that there are ownership and authority to sell rights. This is pending, and we believe that this commission should wait.
Okay.
Should wait till after the determination by Chancery Court. This is in the Sussex County Chancery Court. Once that is resolved, it may be right to appear here or it may never appear here. My clients believe that they have the ownership rights to this property based upon the existence of an agreement between Louise Banks, Raymond Banks, Russell Banks, and David Banks, a family partnership, and express promises. They're all subject to litigation, and this decision does not need to be made today. This property is not going to be developed immediately. Should my clients be successful, which we believe they will, this property will never be developed. It is their intent to keep this property in the condition it is as farmland, timberland, and pasture land. And they want to preserve the family properties in the condition they are and in the same method as farmers for the Banks family. And so we believe that you don't have to make this decision today, and that really you should wait till after the Chancery Court makes this decision. Regardless of the ownership, there's an issue of competency. You have before you a signed plan that appears to be signed by, or purports to be signed by, Raymond Banks 2 months before he died. The signature on that plan, even in and of itself, gives rise to his competency. We believe he was not competent. We believe that that plan is not rightly before you by someone signing it who had the authority or ability to sign it, that at the time he did not have this ability. And then the third issue relates more specifically to the kinds of issues this commission would address, and that's whether or not, and these questions can probably be addressed, while this property does not have wetlands, at least it appears from a section on subsection B that it's draining into wetlands. We want to have addressed the issue of whether or not stormwater drains drain into wetlands, which it appears to on the neighboring property. And that certainly is an issue directly for you. But since this issue does not have to be decided today, and because we're going to have a decision for the Chancery Court, we urge the Commission to once again continue this matter until such time as the Chancery Court has issued its decision.
All right, ma'am. Thank you. Mr. Fuqua?
Mr. Chairman, I know that you don't do a rebuttal. This is a little bit unusual where it's some legal issues that normally aren't presented. I'll be very quick.
Okay.
The only issue I want to address is as far as this doesn't have to be decided, the application is before you. In effect, what's being requested is that you issue an injunction stopping yourself from making a decision until the Court of Chancery makes a decision. I would submit the proper way to handle it is for the person filing the lawsuit to go to the Court of Chancery and seek an injunction telling you not to make a decision, not for you to make that decision. The application's before you. I think it's your responsibility and authority to make that decision. Let the court handle the court matters. You handle the land use matters. Thanks.
Okay. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry, I almost missed you.
There are some questions that I have.
I need your name, please.
My name is Anna Volkman. Mm-hmm. I am a resident. What is going to be adjacent to the back part of this proposed housing development?
Yes, ma'am.
Concerning this development and what's going on with it, There was a number of things that was started to be said. Since we couldn't see what everyone was pointing out here, it should be, I think, that if the people are in the audience here, in the pews, waiting to hear what's happening here, we should be seeing what these men are saying
ma'am,
are going
ma'am,
to happen.
Ma'am,
but that's
ma'am.
That's beyond.
No, wait a minute. You sat in the very last seat you could
you can't
sit in.
See those boards from any section.
And you were welcome to come up and look at them. You were welcome to sit closer. Now, if you would like
also,
to take a
since you had already started
look.
When we came in, was no,
well,
was
I'm,
would be
I'm,
rude
I'm,
to walk
I'm,
up to the front
I'm
when
sorry,
you're doing
but
that.
This is the nature of a public meeting, but go ahead and tell me what's
all
going
right.
On.
Now, that's just one point I wanted to make, that all information is not known to the people in the back. I didn't know this. Second thing I'd say, being a person who would be involved as far as what's going on here, besides the Banks family and another family that lives in permanent residence there, I had never received any information, any notice, any questionnaire from any development people saying that this is proposed what was going on. I don't know if that's supposed to happen, but it's kind of a courtesy if it's going to involve our existence down the future.
Let me find out about that for you. Mr. Lank, what was the procedure for notification for this application?
The state law requires that we advertise in two local papers and post the property. As a courtesy, we typically notify anyone within 200 foot of the site in question as a courtesy. But we do normally do that. And Shane's got the file. We have to pull the file and see if anyone on her site is notified.
Okay. In addition to that, just for you and the people in the audience, all of the information that's been submitted has been in the Planning and Zoning Commission's files. There's a requirement that any applicant that's presenting information to the Planning and Zoning Commission submit what it intends to rely on at least 72 hours prior to the public hearing so that it can be viewed by the public or anybody that has an interest in the proceeding.
That's as far as additional documentation other than what they applied for
right.
12 or 14 months ago.
Exactly.
All right, there's another question I have. Well, a few others.
Okay.
Mr. Reeds, is that your name?
Ma'am, I need you to speak with me, and I'll direct the questions to them.
All right. Okay. He was talking about the country road that people can jog along, walk, socialize in. That country road, I believe, because we couldn't see this, what he was pointing at, comes through private property, that is the Volkman family private property. Now, I don't know if that's been taken into consideration
Mr.
by
Mr. Ford, would you point the road out to the to us so that
the road that we were speaking of, Mr. Volkman, was the multi-use path that LDOT is requiring along the frontage is on Old Mill Road. There's also that's a 10-foot wide multi-use path, and there's an 8-foot wide multi-use path that runs through the center of the property.
No, I think you might have also been talking about the access road to the back lots. Is that
yes,
what you're referring
yes,
to?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I consider that a state road, not just a little old country road.
The dirt road?
Yes.
Okay. No. I don't think it's a state road, though. I think it's a private
road.
Oh,
Tom, can you just show what that is? The access to the property in the back is right here.
Yes, all right.
That will continue this way as well as to Old Mill. It will be.
Well, why should, if this proposed siting goes through, why should the people from those communities have access to come back into private property that has always been private property, secluded back there? As it is right now, I mean, if a strange car goes by or something, who is it?
I'm going to try to fix this for you. Find out. Mr. Fuquay. The residents in the back have an easement through this property. Do these residents have an easement through the back property?
No.
Jim, and we note on the plan. We have a
so they don't have a right to go back there, ma'am.
That's private property.
That's private access easement.
But I think Mrs. Volkman's point, you know, that's not to say somebody
wouldn't go back there. I understand.
Can put a restriction in there that's private property, and they would be trespassing if they did that. But I don't know. There'd be no reason to do it because the main entrance would be coming out the other way. But but...
Well, I think it's inevitable that somebody's going to wander up there. I'm sure that'll happen.
I'm sure there is, because whenever anybody does come that we do not know, of course, we ask who they are or try to find out some information. There was another statement that was made, something about hunting. Couldn't hear it straight in the back there, because men were over there talking instead of being in the microphones.
Well, I'm sorry.
I have a son that does hunt in the area, and there's other locals in there who do hunt in the area. What is was that saying there was going to be a restriction on it?
No, I think it was said that hunting...
Rights of that taken away?
Would Mr. Fuquay, do you want to address that?
I think Mr. Smith asked me if we would place a notice in our restrictions notifying purchasers that hunting does occur in the area, resulting in, obviously, sounds, noises, and gunfire. There are state regulations, of course, governing how close you can hunt to other houses that could affect hunting. But we would notify people that it does occur in the area, which is not unusual in Sussex County.
No, it's very common. There was something else, too, and I can't think of what it is now.
Well, just take a second.
While you're thinking about it, we looked at, and Mr. Abbott handed me the list, and for the benefit of the commission, it looks like there was a notice that was sent, according to the county's tax records, to a Harry J. Volkman in a Philadelphia, Pennsylvania address. So,
He's a sometime, maybe three times a year visitor to the area.
Well, that's how the property is assessed, according to the county's records, so that's what we have to go by.
And we're just adjacent to where Harry J. Volkman is, and we didn't receive anything.
How far is your property line from the site?
Well, if this whole site is going to go along the whole ridge there. Oh, part of the other thing was I wanted to know, what woods did you say 70% was going to be kept intact?
Mr. Ford, would you point out...
There's a great deal of our property consists of woods there.
Okay, if you watch here, he'll show you where the woods is going to be.
The property line is right here, so it cuts through a small section of this woods. As well as the property line runs along this line, and there's a section of woods right in the back here. This section of woods here will be entirely preserved with exception to the entrance. Portions thereof will be preserved in here, as well as a full contiguous area here of woods. The wood line here is not on our property. It would be preserved. It separates this field from this field.
Okay.
That would not be touched.
All right, that answers my question.
We then have a 30-foot buffer even from that line before the rear lots of the lots would be there. So with a 20-foot rear setback, a home could be no closer than 50 feet to that line.
Another thought that came to me back there. The last time we had this hearing here, I tried to get to the gentleman who at the time sat here or in that chair, a dark-haired, rather big man, who made a joke about, well, we don't have to worry about any endangering species there. I wanted to come and ask him to come and stay at my house for a couple days, come back, sit under our trees outside and listen to the eagle and spot the eagle when it went by. I don't know if that's going to be possible anymore. Is not the eagle one of the endangered species? Because it's somewhere in those woods besides cranes that do their bedding down in the woods there. That's environmental impact as far as I can see. Something as far as nature that we really enjoy. I don't know if whoever did the environmental thing had any idea that there was eagles nested in and around there somewhere. Now, 2 years ago, there was three of them flying around that I saw. As of late, I really can't say this summer, what went on.
Okay. What else can we help you with?
All right, so that doesn't matter that the eagles are being ousted out. All right.
Ma'am, nobody said it didn't matter. You're here giving testimony. We're listening to you. And I'll listen to you as long as you want to talk. But we're really...
Well, you're listening, but I didn't hear if anybody really looked into that. How far of an item is it when you do an environmental impact to the animal life around?
Okay. Mr. Ford,
I mean, just 2 weeks ago, we were coming home from around 5 o'clock in the evening, and we had two deer that was jumping out, that we've never had this on Old Mill Road before where deer was a problem with traffic. And one ran into the side of our car and the other one jumped over. Last summer, it was a delivery person. We had to go out from our house because we heard this horn. It was running, a horn. And a person had been, a delivery person from, I think it was Papa John's, had been jumped on by a deer and her car was totaled. And she was hurt pretty badly.
Frequent occurrence in Sussex County, isn't it?
I've never had it around the area before, but since all the woods have been getting torn down, they're around much more.
During the PLUS review, the Department of DNREC reviews for threatened and endangered species, and if there were any records on this property, not in the area, but on the, unless it were in the habitat area, it would have been notified as part of the PLUS process, and I don't think there was anything in the record about that, so DNREC's not aware.
We have a letter from the Delaware Natural Heritage and Endangered Species Department that references that they have no records of any threatened or endangered species on this particular parcel.
Mr. Ford, where is that in your book?
That's in, tab 4 has a slew of different space information that they have. It would be,
in tab 4A after the maps.
In addition to that, the very next document, that's a two-page document, really. In addition to that, we have from the United States Department of Interior Fish and Wildlife Service a request from them if they had any records or items on their data banks for any endangered or threatened species. And they also claim that they had.
Well, next time I'll have to try to get a picture of it.
Oh.
Well, that's all that I can remember right now. I did have something else, but I can't think of what it is.
Okay. Well, I would offer these to you. You said you didn't get a copy or I didn't have a chance to look at the plan. I'm going to give you mine, because they'll likely give me another one. And I'll give you copies of those two letters about the species, too, so that you can read those at your leisure. And if you, you know, if you have any other questions, you certainly feel free to call the office and talk with Mr. Lang.
All right, Mr. Wilson, thank you.
You're welcome, ma'am. I think I saw somebody waving back here. Does anybody else want to speak in opposition? All right, seeing none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us, or to see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning.